Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the
change.
never change. Closer than a brother, kind and true, a friend who's there when other friends have gone. Provider for his children, defender of his own, a mighty tower, fortress great and strong. What he is will never change. What he is will never change. He is truth and truth remains. What he is will never change. What he is will never change. What he is will never change. He is truth and truth remains. What he is, what he is, what he is will never.
Praise the Lord for that. Dr. Toby Weaver has been ministering the Word of God for over 40 years. He's investing his life in training men and women to serve God around the world. In fact, he has children serving the Lord on the mission field. He's been a pastor. He served the Lord in about every capacity imaginable. And he is a man of God. I want you to open your Bibles today and open your hearts as Dr. Toby Weaver comes to preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it's exciting to be in God's house, isn't it? I've enjoyed the singing immensely. I've enjoyed the fellowship. Yesterday, I enjoyed the picnic. And I really enjoyed the picnic. And did I mention I enjoyed the picnic? My theme song is God Be With You Till We Eat Again. Amen? That's my theme song. We did that yesterday. I enjoyed the fellowship. I enjoyed the fellows sitting around with Bruce, picking and grinning on their guitars and singing great songs. And then just fellowshipping with God's people and just seeing you love each other. This is a loving church. We'll go to a lot of churches, Bruce and the young ladies, and I will go to a lot of churches. But what God is doing in this place is exceptional. I hope you understand that what God is doing here is not the norm. It's out of the norm. You have a loving pastor, a loving pastor's wife, a loving pastor's family, loving people. Did I mention the picnic yesterday? How good that was. That was really good, wasn't it? Let me encourage you, when Pastor plans something like that, you ought to jump in with both feet kicking. Man, it's good. I want to thank Pastor Chapel for every kindness shown to us in these days we've been here. The beautiful rooms and just every bit of it, the lovely gifts and everything has just been first class and just a great, great blessing. I know what time it is, okay? And I'm not a long preacher at all. Yeah, there you go. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We're having revival breaking out already. I heard about a preacher. The time was fleeting. There'd been a lot of singing like we've had today and a lot of things going on in church. And he got to preach. He said, I'm not going to preach long. He said, I promise you I won't preach long. And so he started preaching. And it became quarter to 12, then 12 o'clock, then 12:15, 12:30, and 1 o'clock and 1:15. I mean, the guy just got with it, you know. And with Chris, and this finally a guy sitting about where you're sitting, Chris, said, that's it, I can't take it anymore. And he got to start walking out. The guy was preaching. He said, what do you think you're doing? The guy said, I'm leaving. The preacher said, you can't do that. I'm right in the middle of my message. The fellow said, I'm out of here. I'm gone, man. And the preacher said, well, how come you didn't leave earlier? The guy, and he kept going. And the preacher said, "Well, where do you think you're going?" The guy said, "I'm going to go get a haircut." And the preacher said, "Why do you do that before the service?" And the fellow said, "Didn't need one then." Oh, that was bad, right? So I won't be long, I promise you. But preaching is important, isn't it? That's why we've come today. Let's take our Bible, shall we? Turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. And if you'll turn there, chapter number 11, please. We'll begin reading with verse 22. The background of the story is Jesus is with his disciples. He's been talking with them. They come upon a fig tree, and the fig tree is dying. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples something about faith here. Something about faith. I want to say this morning that the Lord is more interested in my fruit than he is my leaves. He wants the fruit. How shall people know that you and I are Christians? By our fruit. And part of the fruit of the Spirit of God is love. And there's a lot of love here. And people need a church that's loving, that's kind, that's honest. That's this church. But the Lord's not interested in the leftovers. Not interested in just leaves. He wants the very best that you can give him and the very best that I can give him. And he's interested in my fruit. Fruit that remains even. And he's going to talk about this with the people that he's closest to, and that's his disciples. And he comes to them and he says in verse number 22, "And Jesus answering unto them, he said, have faith in God." Let's read those words together, shall we? Have faith in God. Let's say it again, shall we? Have faith in God. How many of you understand we can't have faith in the government today? We can't put our faith there. We can't put our faith there. How many of you understand that you can't put your faith in your occupation anymore? We can't put it there. We certainly can't put our faith in man. We need to put our faith in God. In a day, in an unusual day, in a day more than ever, ever in my life, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in God. I've told young people for years, when a young man is sitting across the desk from me and he's struggling and he's worried and anxiety and maybe a problem at his home church or a problem with his mom and dad or maybe a personal problem at work or maybe in the dorm or with his girlfriend or with other people or maybe finances or maybe illness at home. Maybe his dad or his mom or his preacher or his preacher's wife has cancer or something like that. And I've said so many times, well, son, looks like we're just going to have to faith it. Looks like we're going to have to faith it here. And many of us today need to faith it. We need to faith it. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. And faith is trust. Faith is believing. I was looking into the faces of the young people up in the high school department this morning. It was obvious to me that some of those young people have come and they have rough background. A couple of them were hurting. It was all over their faces. And ladies and gentlemen, what those young people need to see and what young people at Bible college need to see from those of us that have been saved for a while, they need to see people of great faith. Amen. These girls don't need to see somebody of great talent because I'm not. I can't compete with their iPhone. I can't compete with stuff on the computer. Forget it. I certainly can't compete with Hollywood and stuff on television, but I can have faith in God. Amen. And they can see a man. They can see a man. And his wife. You can see a man and his wife who are moving forward at Freeway Baptist Church by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Faith it. My wife needs to see my wife needs to see a man that so often I just gotta faith it. Now I don't know what you need today, but I guarantee you, in every seat this morning there's a need. In every seat this morning there's a need. In every seat this morning there's a burden. And the Bible says that you and I are to bear one another's burdens. I've learned through these four decades of ministry. 4 decades is a long time, isn't it? Doesn't feel like a long time. Just so quickly. The great regret of my life is I only have one life. The great regret of my life is I only have one. And so the one that I have, I really want it to count. I want the life that I have to count for Jesus Christ. For Him and Him alone. I really want my life to count. So many things we do by faith, by trust. I don't know what need you have today, but the Lord Jesus Christ can meet that need. If you have an emotional need, He can meet the need. If you have a financial need, He can meet the need. He wants to meet your need. If you've come today and you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, don't leave this room today without driving a stake down in that and making sure that heaven will be your home. Jesus said, have faith in God. In verse 23, He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, underline the word say in your thinking, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that's an important word, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. That's an important word. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Heavenly Father, for just a few brief moments, would you help us to dig in? And I promise you, dear Jesus, that I'll do my very best to explain the Word of God. And I pray that today that you would bless not only the preacher, but the hearer, the listener. And you told us in your precious book that your Word would not return void. So today, may the Word of God do its work. I thank you for this great, great church. I thank you for sending Pastor Chapel here for such a time as this. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've blended him with these dear people and these people with him. I pray, Father, for the future of this church. I pray today would be a watershed movement, a watershed moment in the life of this church. Work in each life in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, but the gift of God, and through faith we get saved. Faith. Faith. You're trusting the seat you're in today. You put faith in your chair. I don't know about you, I've sat in a chair every once in a while, that thing just crumbled. I got set up a time or two by a couple of knuckle-headed college guys. I hate those guys. They set me up, and I said, I'm not going to have faith in that chair anymore, but the chair you're sitting in today, you have faith. You believed it would hold you. You trusted it. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to roll yourself on Him today and to put your complete faith and your complete trust in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The disciples were asking Jesus about this, about other things, and He wanted to teach them something about faith, about faith. And He said, if you'll look again, verse 22, and Jesus answering them said unto them, have faith in God. You know what I've determined? I've determined to become rather radical on this matter. Several years ago, I was preaching over in Victorville, California for my dear friend Bob Counts. And I got to church early that night, and so I went by the Taco Bell. You can kill yourself for $5 at the Taco Bell. You know that, right? Went by the Taco Bell. So I ordered that stuff. I was sitting there eating my Taco Bell, minding my own business, in my little suit with my Bible, getting ready for church that night. And these, I think it was three guys, a real big guy. He had yellow and blue hair. Man, he was pretty. His hair was sticking straight up. He was a typical Southern California guy. He had tattoos way up here, bless his heart. He was in black. And he was on a skateboard in the Taco Bell. And two guys followed him. Well, I wanted to mind my own business, so I just kept looking down. And I was rather intimidated anyway. Great big guy. So I kept looking down at my taco, and they were real loud. And I just kind of glanced up. When I did, his eyes and my eyes met. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. And he walked over to me, and he said, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? And I looked up, and I didn't want to laugh, but I had to. You know, I said, son, I'm looking at you. He said, what are you going to do about it? And I had a track in my pocket, and a gospel track. I said, I'm going to give you this. And I was shaking like a leaf. He said, what's that? And I said, it's a gospel track. Tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. I said, don't hit me, please. I'm an old man. Don't meet up with me. And he opened that thing up, and he went over, and boy, he and his friends were laughing about that thing, carrying on, laughing, making a big scene. I kept eating my taco. And as he left on his skateboard, he showed me his skateboard. I said, tell me about your skateboard. And he handed me his skateboard. He said, I paid $150 for a skateboard. Pastor, I remember paying less than $150 for automobiles. 150. I said, boy, that's pretty neat. Boy, he rode out and he got to the door. He turned around and he said, hey, mister. And I said, yes, sir, son. He said, you're weird, man. And I thought about that for a while. And I am, I'm sort of weird, you know. But he called me weird. And I decided, I closed my Bible, and I decided, if he's going to be that adamant and that excited about that skateboard and about his lifestyle, then I'm going to be equally as radical about mine. Amen. I am. Because he wasn't ashamed of his skateboard. He wasn't ashamed of his appearance. That hair, that yellow and blue hair was going in the wind. He wasn't the least bit ashamed of any of that. And if he's not ashamed of that, I'm certainly not going to be ashamed of this. Amen. You see. It's time we've just decided if they're going to be radical, we're going to be radical in our faith. Our two boys that are in ministry needs to see a radical dad about the Lord. Rather radical about it. Rather radical about his love for his mama. Rather radical about church. Rather radical about things that we do and the things that we allow ourselves to read and watch. Rather radical about that, because God not only blesses a clean church, he really wants to bless a squeaky clean church. Amen? So I don't know what you need to do to become squeaky clean, but there are things in my life that I need to clean up sometimes by faith. By faith. Now, I don't know what you're facing today, but I know you're facing something. And so I want to give you four words, four encouraging words today, and then we'll go. Let's look at the first word. It's found in verse 23. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I like that, say it. What he's saying, if there are steps I need to take in my faith. First of all, I need to speak my faith. I need to talk about it. I need to speak it. I need to speak my faith. I need to be encouraging to the pastor. I need to talk about things that by faith that in his mind that he's planning and doing. Well, I want to encourage him. And I want to say, hey, Pastor, God will help you do that. That's speaking your faith. I want to speak my faith to these young people. I want to speak it. He said it there. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Look here. There are mountains that I'm facing today. There are mountains. I'm facing mountains. Some decisions that are looming out there that are mountains in my life. God's will for my life. An investment. A relationship. Trying to patch up a relationship. Something that's a mountain being misunderstood. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to stand before a class at 7:30, and they're going to open their Bibles. I'm going to teach the Word of God. I've got that to look forward to. That's kind of cool. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow morning, and before you're there, 15 minutes, you're going to hear God's name taken in vain. Before you're there, 15 minutes, you're going to hear about the wild sexual escapades that people that you work and care for did over the weekend. That's what you have to look forward to. That's a mountain. Some of you got to go to work tomorrow. You've got to face people you don't want to face tomorrow. You've got to do things that you don't want to do tomorrow. They're very, very hard. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's what you have tomorrow. You need faith. You need faith. What am I going to do about the things that I can't change? I'm going to faith it. I'm going to talk about it. God, help me today. Heavenly Father, we're going over to this picnic, and I don't know who's there or what to expect. Would you help us to be a blessing? We're going to go there today by faith. And lo and behold, Krista meets a young lady who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I met the neatest friends yesterday. Those guys playing guitars and singing and just carrying on. We had a great, great time by faith. I've got to speak it. I've got to say to this mountain, Jesus said. Say it. Tell your wife, we're going to be faithful in church. We're going to come back Sunday night. Amen. We're going to be here. We're going to come hear Pastor Chapel preach tonight. We're going to faith it. We've never been to church on a Sunday night. I don't even know what they do on Sunday night. But we're going to go. And we're going to come to Bible study. And we're going to take a couple of tracts out there. And by faith, we're going to take a couple of tracts, and we may be real nervous, but if you're real nervous, I'm going to teach you how to pass out a tract. Here's how you do it. Okay? And God honors that. And people have taken more tracts for me when I was doing this because they felt sorry for me. I'm going. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to take tracts today. I'm going to tell people about the Lord. I'm going to do it by faith. Well, I've never been a soul winner. I can't come to soul winning. Take a couple of tracts with you today. You'll be a soul winner this week because you're giving the gospel. You can do it. You can do it. God will help you do it. We got to say it. So the first word is speak. Let's say, what's the first word?
Speak.
The first word is what?
Speak.
I see another word. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and shall cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. The second word is support. I got to support my faith. You know how you support your faith? You get rid of all the stuff that would hinder you from going by faith. I don't know what you have at home that puts a lid on your usefulness for the Lord. The blessing can't come up because there's a lid on it. There's a lid. I mean, it can go just so far, but it has to stop because of the lid. May I encourage you this morning to take the lid off? Whatever you have at home or in your car or in your heart or in your mind that puts a lid on your faith, take the lid off and get rid of the lid. Get rid of the lid. That's between you and the Lord. That's just between you and the Lord. I know from time to time I'm tempted to get a little bit proud. And pride is just bad sin. It's drinking alcohol, buddy. Maybe worse. Proud preacher. Nothing worse than a stinking proud preacher. Sometimes pride. Every man in this room deals with lust from time to time. Have to fight that like the plague. Can I get an amen? And we just do. So I don't know what's on your computer. Anything hanky-panky on your computer, you got to get rid of the lid. That lid is stopping you from faith in it, buddy. Your faith is halted. Your faith only goes so far because there's a lid. It may be envy. It may be gossip. It may be strife. It may be harboring bitterness. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But whatever lid is on us, if we don't get rid of that, it may be lack of faith. It may be lack of trust or belief. Oh, God can never bless me. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe today. That is his lie. Maybe some things have happened to you in the past. Boy, they're just hard to overcome. God will help you overcome those. He'll help you. But we must move by faith. I can't manipulate people. I can't manipulate students. Either they're going to love the Lord or they're not. That's between them and the Lord. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just Toby Weaver, a preacher. Well, I see another word. I see. I got to speak my faith. I got to support my faith by moving anything that would stop my faith from moving forward. And he says very clearly, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shalt not doubt, but believe. But believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. I've got to speak my faith. I got to support my faith. Then I got to see my faith. Believe. I attended a church as a bus kid. My brother, the folks would pick us up on the church bus, and we were mean to snakes. We'd come to church, and the only reason we went to church because they had donuts, milk. That's good as reason as any, isn't it? When you're a bus kid, we'd go in the front door, we'd get the donuts and the milk, make an appearance for Sunday school, go out the back door and go play football or baseball during church. And then we would break in cars and steal the deacon's cigarettes and stuff. Just kidding. We were just mean. We were mean. Always in trouble. Mama was gone. Daddy did the best he could, but he had to work 7 days a week because a dishwasher over the restaurant. He did the best he could, but my brother and I were just mean. Didn't have any supervision. We got in a heap of trouble. Heap of trouble. We'd ride that old bus to church. And I don't remember one message that preacher preached, but I can still hear them singing in church. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. And I would stop with the ball. I could hear that, and I'd stop for a minute, and they'd keep going, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible, Lord, I believe. And that made an impact on a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid. Because they were singing it, and I said to myself, they believe that. I'm not going to go back in there, but they believe that. I can't wait till we leave. Maybe they'll take me out for a hamburger. I'm not kidding you. That was a highlight, man. That was a highlight. I'll never forget Sam Pate taking me out and bought me a pair of shoes one time. I couldn't believe I had on new shoes. That's the kind of church this is, I think. You get that bus thing going, the little bus kids are going to come in here now. I'm telling you, I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not much and I know it. But I wouldn't be here today had it not been for the Sam Pates of the world. Bought me a pair of shoes when I'd never even felt what a new pair of shoes felt like. You can do that. May have to do it by faith. Maybe in 40 years, there'll be another Freeway Baptist Church and an old guy like Toby Weaver will be up here preaching. And he'll never forget the shoes. You see, what did Sam Pate do that day? He saw his faith. He saw his faith. Speak your faith. Support your faith. See your faith. Take a look. Take a look. Look how beautiful this is up here. Done by, look at this. This is all done by faith. You understand that, right? See it. Squeeze it. It may not always be like this. And then there's one other thought. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe you shall receive them. Believe, see it. In verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. The last word is this about your faith. Sanctify your faith. Sanctify your faith. Cleanse your faith. Faith is a flame. It's a flame. Boy, this is a hot church. I like this church, boy. That church is on fire down there. A flame. You got the flame going. People all over this area need the Lord Jesus Christ. The flame is lit. Faith is a flame. Faith is a flame. I'm telling you, it's a flame. Faith is a flame in our hearts that can be easily quenched. Just like that. Because of an unforgiving spirit. Just like that. Because of an unforgiving spirit. I'm seeing everywhere I go, people have bitterness and they're hanging on to something that somebody did to them. And it's quenching the Holy Spirit. It's putting a limit on your faith. It's putting as far as you can go because of what he or she said or did to me. I'm not forgiving them. You lose. You spiritually lose. You lose. Jesus said, I want to forgive you, but if that man offended me and I didn't forgive him, he's not going to forgive me. That's as Bible as John 3:16. That's as Bible. That's what Toby didn't say that. Jesus said that, right? Right? Amen. Jesus said that in his word. Now let me just close with this morning. I'm seeing everywhere I go, people harboring and hanging on to bitterness. Everywhere I go. And it's hindering the work of the Holy Spirit in churches like ours and yours and others. I told you about my mama. Mama today loves the Lord. Some of these girls are going to meet my mama. She's a big mama. I like big mamas. You kind of hug them in sections. I like them big mamas. Boy, she can make the best biscuits and hash you've ever eaten in your whole life. Well, those big old biscuits, those big old cathead biscuits. She still lives up in Virginia. Man, you open that biscuit, you just smother it in butter, amen? Then you take that homemade hash, you just dump it all over that thing, and the hash runs out all over the plate. You put as much salt and pepper on it that you can stand. It's good. Then you pick up the plate, you just rub it all over your head, man. It's so good. It is so good. I can't wait to see my mama. But it wasn't always like that. Mama got with the wrong crowd. Daddy was 100% disabled World War II vet. And so I had a hard time controlling my mama. My mama's a free spirit. Kind of runs in the family. And mama got so far away. And she literally just left us when I was 11 years old for the last time. We didn't see her for years. I called her. I finally found her. I said, Mama, I've met a girl. We're going to get married. I said, I want you to come to the wedding. She said, you don't want me to come to the wedding. I said, I want you to come to the wedding. She came to the wedding. And when she came there, she was drunk. She made a big bad scene at our wedding. My wife is growing up in a very sheltered home. I don't know how she got stuck with me, but she did. That was fun last night, by the way. And she'd never even seen anybody drunk. It was a happening, man. It was something else. It was amazing. Thanksgiving time came, and I told my wife, I said, "We're going to go see Mama. We're going to go see Mama." I called Mama, and I said, "Mama, I'm going to bring Rita home and let you meet her." And so I want you to meet her. My mother said, "You don't want to come." I said, "Yeah, we're going to come, Mama." And we went, and we had supper. She didn't say anything, and Mama was washing dishes, and I walked over, and I walked behind her, and I hugged her. I grabbed her back. I said, "Mama." And she was crying, and she said, I said, "That was the best supper we ever had." She said, "Toby, I am so embarrassed." I said, "Mama, I love you. Your mama. Your mama." I said, "Rita loves you." I said, "You always have had a way of making life really interesting around here." And she turned around. She's crying. I was crying. And she said, "Would you please forgive me?" I said, "Forgave you a long time ago. We don't need..." Now look, Mama got right with God a little bit after that. She's still Mama. She still says and does stuff that these girls, I'm afraid what these girls are going to think when they meet my Mama, but they'll get over it. She's Mama. Amen? Mama's Mama. But she loves the Lord today in her own way. In her own way. And she reads the Bible and she loves the Lord today. It all started with just, "You're forgiven. Anybody you need to forgive?" "Yeah, somebody needs to forgive me." They didn't ask you that. Love takes the initiative. Love always takes the initiative. Every time. The worst I am ever is when I'm bitter. When I'm bitter, they'll just shoot me. They'll just shoot me, put me in a big hole, and bury me. When I'm bitter, I pray that you'll keep what you got here. Today, maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I was wronged." Almost everybody in this room has been wrong somewhere along the way. But I've been hanging on to that. I'm not going to hang on to it anymore. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to let that strangle me spiritually anymore. It just strangles me. It stops me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not responsible for them, but I'm responsible for me. And I'm not going to hang on to that anymore. Maybe within a family, I'm not going to hang on to that anymore. I've had to go to my wife and say, "Would you please forgive me?" And I know it's been hard for her a few times because of my hard-headedness. But she's forgiven me. Thank the Lord. She's not holding it over me. She could. She got the best memory of anybody. Every woman has a... I don't know why. I can't remember what happened 10 minutes ago, and she remembers everything for 40 years. You women are amazing. You are amazing. For mine, like a steel trap. But don't hold it over us. Forgive us. We need you. We need your forgiveness. Amen? We need to forgive each other. Remember the man on the cross? He took it all. He took it all. He forgave you. If he forgave Toby Weaver, then I can certainly forgive. I can forgive anybody for anything. Remember that? I hope you do. The Lord loves you. He loves me. If you've come today and you're not sure of heaven being your eternal destiny, let's get that settled today. Let's bow our heads, please. I'll ask Pastor Chappell to come. Pastor.
Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed for just a moment. We've heard a tremendous message this morning, and I know it's resonating in hearts. I'm talking to some folks who are standing in front of a mountain, and it seems like it's impassable. But by faith, all things are possible. And the message to have faith in God is ringing in your heart. And today, if there's one in this room that would say, "Pastor, there seems to be an immovable mountain in front of me, and I want God to do a work of faith in me, and I want to believe God for victory in this area. And you know what it is, and God knows." You would say, "Pastor, today, would you remember me in a moment of prayer? I'm standing before what seems to be an immovable mountain. Would you pray for me?" God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Are there others today? Maybe it's that relationship or that job, that financial reversal. God bless you and you. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's a child, a grandchild. God bless you. God bless you today. Many hands. And maybe there's somebody here today. And what's stifling your faith is that bitter spirit. There's somebody that God is talking to you about. And you know that you need to let it go. And be freed from the thing that's stifling your faith. Perhaps there's one here today that would say, Pastor, God has laid someone on my heart that I know that I need to set them free. I need to forgive. God's speaking to me. Pray for me, Pastor. Here's my hand. Is there one like that? God bless you and you. God bless you and God bless you. God bless you. God bless you today. The most important question that anyone could ask you is, are you absolutely certain that if you died today, you'd spend forever in heaven with the Lord? Say, do you know that your sins are all forgiven and that heaven is your home? Or don't you really know? If there's one here today that is troubled by that question, you're not positive that if you died today that you would spend forever in heaven with God, but you're concerned about it, you would say, Pastor, I wonder if you'd remember me in a moment of prayer too, because I'm just not sure my sins are forgiven, just not sure that heaven is my home. I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me. Here's my hand. Would you just slip it up and write that down? I'll see where you're seated. God bless you, sir. Is there someone else? Pray for me, Pastor. I do not know for certain that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Is there someone else? Any at all? Just put it up and write that down. I'll see where you're seated and pray for you. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's called Just As I Am. We know it very well. And when we do, whether you have lifted your hand or not, if God is speaking to you about some need in your life, when we begin singing, I want to invite you to step from where you'll be standing and walk to the front. I'll be standing here waiting for you. Allow me to have someone take the Bible and show you from God's Word how that the need of your life may be met. Today, if you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven, the Lord's will is that you be saved. We want to have someone show you how you can be sure of heaven. Today, if you need to forgive, then why don't you kneel down and say, Lord, I'm going to speak my faith. I'm going to live it out. I'm going to tell someone that God has dealt with me. I want to be unfettered in my faith. I don't want anything in my life limiting this walk of faith. And today, God may be dealing with you about that. You want to just kneel and say, Lord, I give this to you. Perhaps you're here, you need to join the church or follow the Lord in believer's baptism. However He's talking to you today, you do exactly what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about. Nothing more. And nothing less. Heavenly Father, today we pray that You would do a mighty work in this place. Work in hearts. Save them that are lost. Give courage, I pray, for those that are struggling with forgiveness. God, I pray that today they would turn that person free and that their faith would be unfettered. Lord, I pray that we might speak our faith, that it might not just be dormant. Lord God, I pray that You would work in this moment to glorify Jesus and glorify Him in us, we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet? Just a moment, we're going to sing. And when we do, if God is dealing with you, whether you've lifted your hand or not, we invite you to step out and come as Pastor Eckleberry leads us just now.
Just
would you come? Would you come?
Ah.
heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, as Mike plays through quietly. Had a man came forward and said, "Pastor, I have a lot of needs in my life. One of those is I need to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. What about you? What about you?" If you're here this morning and you are not positive that heaven is your home, that your sins are all forgiven, but you're concerned about it, would you look at me just for a moment? Nobody else will know you're looking at me but you. Would you look at me? If you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven, right now, would you come? Some of you looking at me in the back, some from both sides. Would you step out and let us show you from the Bible how you can be sure of heaven? Would you come right now while we wait? Would you step out and come? Heavenly Father, we praise you for your work in hearts. Lord, we thank you for the tenderness of your people. Lord, I pray that this message would remain in us. May it find lodging in our hearts. And may we reflect over it long after we have left this place. And we will praise you, for we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Would you look here for just a moment? I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I came to church today. I needed to hear this message. I needed to hear the singing. And I've enjoyed it tremendously. And I believe that you have as well. I want to invite you to be back tonight for our evening service at 6 o'clock. The tour group will be gone singing, ministering in another church here in the valley. But we're grateful that they've been able to be here with us. And I want to encourage you to go by and just let them know how much their ministry has meant to you. And let Brother Weaver know how much his message has meant to you today. And Vessels of Honor, Bruce, and Dr. Weaver, if you would be dismissed at this moment to go to the back, they'll be at the table. I want to encourage you to go by and pick up the resources that are there. Some of that music will minister to you on a level that's just off the charts. And I think it'll be a blessing to your heart. Anyone that knows a young person between the ages of 13 and 23 that's making life decisions should purchase Discover Your Destiny. I'm requiring every one of my children to read it. And I believe that it has been a profound book in their lives. It'll be a big difference maker in the lives of your youngsters as well. But I want you to know I love you. Thank God for you. We had a great time yesterday, great time this morning. Looking forward to tonight. And also, I want to say the Eckleberries will be leaving us pretty soon. Will you'll be here Wednesday, Pastor Eckleberry? You'll be here Wednesday. So we won't have very many more opportunities to hug their neck and tell them we love them. And make sure that you take every opportunity before they go to Colorado for the summer months to let them know how much you appreciate their ministry. And we'll look forward to seeing you this evening. Brother Johnny Cordova, would you come to the platform? They had a great group of teenagers today in the youth group. We're thankful to the Lord for that. Would you please dismiss our service in a moment of prayer?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and everything that you do for us. We thank you for just the blessings you give us, and that by faith that every day we got to look at you and come to you and know that you're going to be our provider and our comforter. Lord, as we leave this church, Lord, and we go to our homes and we go to our places that we're going, Lord, that we take Jesus with us, and then we tell others about you. And Lord, if there's anybody here that might not know you yet, that they go up to somebody and ask how they can know they can be saved. We thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.